chapter 5, and I pray that somebody's already prayed it this morning. I pray that anybody here that's lost, I pray you'll get saved this morning. And it's not just me praying that, I'm saying that, but this church is praying for you. And you say, well, if I went down that altar, what's everybody going to say or think? They're going to be happy for you. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're a member or visitor this morning, and if you're struggling with your salvation, you doubt your salvation, I pray that the message this morning will help your heart and give you what you stand in need of. If you're able to stand, 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And notice with me in verse number 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. The Bible said, this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that You would bless the reading of Thy Word. I pray, Lord, that You would touch every heart, speak to every soul. God, we want to thank You this morning for the good testimonies. Thank You, dear Lord, for the answered prayer. And thank You, dear Lord, for Your people this morning. And I pray now that You would grant us the liberty and the vocabulary, the ready turn of thought and mind. I pray that You'd illuminate our heart and mind to do the will of God. And we'll thank You for it this morning. For we love You, and we do ask in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 13, where the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice this, that you may know that you have eternal life. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, on the doctrine of eternal security. The doctrine of eternal security. You see, the Bible teaches us that not only can we be saved, but we can know that we're saved for all eternity. In fact, I would say if there's anything better than being saved, it's the fact of being saved, and you know that you're saved. And you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about next week, or you don't have to worry about next year. Now, sometimes people say, now you Baptists believe in that once saved, always saved. Well, I don't really use that terminology because I know how it's been used and abused, and so I never really use that. But I do believe this. I do believe what the Bible teaches. I do believe in eternal life. Amen. I do believe in everlasting life. And I do believe that God keeps the promises that He has made to everyone that believes in Him. I want to say this morning that when it comes to eternal life, that we are eternally saved regardless of our feelings this morning. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Preached from that verse last Sunday. Amen. Talking about salvation. But faith, my friend, our salvation is not based on a feeling. Thank God it's based on facts. Amen. And we're saved regardless of our feelings. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. You say, Brother Gravely, you quoted that last week. I'm going to quote it again. I'll tell you why. Because our salvation and our eternal security is not based on what I said or what I did, but it's based on what God said and what He did at Calvary. Amen. And so we're saved eternally regardless of our feelings. Amen. Jesus taught us that in John chapter 5 in verse number 24 when He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, here it is, hath everlasting life. Amen. He said, if you'll hear the word of God and you'll believe the word of God, then you can have everlasting life. He said, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thank God for the promise this morning. Amen. Not just the promise that we're saved, but the promise, thank God, that we're eternally saved. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13, Peter said this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Peter said you're going to have to do, my friend, to settle this matter of eternal security, is you're going to have to get past your feelings, and you do that by girding up the loins of your mind. Amen? You see, in verse number 13, that's what John said, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm going to tell you,
knowing you're saved has every bit to do, my friend, with what goes on up here. Amen. It's not about what you feel. It's not about, listen, what you face in life. Salvation, my friend, is built and based on the facts of the Word of God. Amen. I'm not saved because I shed tears when I went to the altar, and I did. Maybe you didn't. I'm not saved because I prayed a certain way or a certain prayer. Amen. Listen, we didn't all say the same thing, but we all believed on the same person if we got saved. Amen. He, my friend, regardless of our feelings. And then I want to say this morning, eternal security is real regardless of our failures. Amen. Because this morning, every one of us has failed God. Amen. Now, salvation and eternal security is not a license to sin. Amen. For two reasons. Number one, when you get saved, God not only saves you from hell, but He saves you out of the sin that you're in. And how He does that, it doesn't mean that you couldn't still commit it, but what it does mean is that you have a change of desire, you have a change of heart, and you don't want to anymore. Amen. Now, people run around and say they're saved, and they're still drinking Bud Stupid, amen, and smoking dope. And they're acting like, you know, they're still wallowing in their sin and they're loving their sin. So, well, I'm saved. And they're holding a Budweiser and they're not even one bit convicted about it. I'm going to tell you something. They're not saved. They're deceived. Amen. Because the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That doesn't mean a saved person can't go back to drinking. But what it does mean is that a saved person don't desire to do that. And if they do go back to it, I promise you this, they will not enjoy that sin after they're saved like they once did before they got saved. And God will chasten them. He said, if I chastise you not, then you're bastards and not sons. Sons, listen, if you can go out there and you waller in sin and live in sin and you be without chastisement, you are not saved. I didn't say you wasn't saved. The Bible says you wasn't saved. Amen. But in spite of that, we still fail God, don't we? We're not perfect. We're not sinless. But we do fall short of the glory of God, don't we? Never been a day in our life we felt like we've measured up. I used to think, man, when am I going to get to the place where I feel like I prayed enough, read enough Bible, and witnessed to enough sinners? Well, if that day ever comes, you pray for me. Amen. Because if I ever get to the place where I feel like I did pretty good today, I'm not in a good place. If I ever get to the place where, well, I've prayed enough and I've witnessed to enough and I've read enough scripture, that's self-righteousness in and of itself. Isn't that right? And so I definitely need your prayers if I ever get that place. No, I'm telling you, we fall short of God's glory every day. We are sinners. But thank God we're sinners that have been saved by grace. Amen. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. We don't want to live that life no more. But even at our very best, we are going to fail God. That's why 1 John 1 and verse 9 is in the book. He said that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Say, Brother Graham, did you fail God this week? Sure I have. Don't want to. But I'm going to tell you this morning, in spite of that, I'm glad I can come to God and say, Lord, would you cleanse me from all my sins? I'm telling you, when they were singing that song about Calvary, something just rose up in my heart. I said, God, before I preach this morning, please forgive me of any sins that I have committed, any sins of omission and commission, sins of ingratitude, sins of unthankfulness, sins, my thought process, anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Would you help me this morning? You say you believe God heard that. Well, she quoted that verse earlier when she said, the Bible said His eyes are over the righteous and His ears are open unto our prayers. I believe God listens to the prayers of His children. I believe God wants to hear us this morning, and we're saved eternally in spite of our feelings and in spite of our failures. We're saved eternally in spite of our forgetfulness. You see, we might forget the great transaction that's happened in our life. You say, Brother Gravely, that's not possible. You can't forget that you're saved. Well, I beg to differ. This mind can forget a lot of things. This mind can deteriorate, and there are certain diseases that can run through this mind that can cause us to forget. I've used the illustration many times, probably here and other places, but I visited a man years ago that used to be a member of this church. Before I came here, I went to the nursing home and visited him. He had dementia. He was in the last stages of that, and I was sitting there, and I was talking to him, and I said, "Brother Alfred, would you tell me about when you got saved?" And he sat there and paused for about 30 seconds, and he looked, and he said, "You know, I just can't remember when I got saved." And I said, "Well, being a young preacher, you know, at that time it kindly concerned me, because I'd always heard, well, if you get saved, you'll never forget it." Amen. I said, "Well, brother," I said, "are you sure that you're saved?" He looked at me like I had two heads. He said, "Well, of course I know I'm saved." He said, "I just can't remember it." Amen. I'm telling you, even though his mind had deteriorated and he couldn't recall the experience of salvation, you know what he had? Thank God he still had the peace in his heart and the blessed assurance. You see, my friend, it's not up to me to keep the record. There's one keeping the record. Amen. And if I forget, thank God he never will. He is a man that'll never forget. God knows when, God knows where, and God knows what happened. And hallelujah, he's still keeping the record. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, there are some people that grew up in church and they made 2 and 3 and 4 professions of salvation, because all they ever knew was growing up under the shadow of the cross, and they've struggled with their salvation. I've talked to them many times and they'd say, "You know, I don't know, preacher, honestly, if I got saved right here, I don't know if I got saved right there." I say, "Well, do you know you're saved?" They say, "I know I'm saved, but I can't figure out which one it was." I say, "Well, don't worry about it. God's big enough to give you peace, and thank God he's got a good record. He knows when it is." Now I'll tell you this morning, if you're not saved, there's no peace. The Bible said 3 times in the book of Isaiah, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You say, "Brother Grath, does it say in the Bible you can forget your salvation?" Well, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 5 says that. Or not verse 5, verse 7. He said, "Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith." There's 9 things he said to add to your faith: virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the," notice this, "the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things," he's blind, he cannot see afar off, and here it is, he's forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Now, what I'm telling you is, you cannot lose your salvation this morning, but you can lose the joy of your salvation. Amen. And the joy of our salvation is knowing that we're eternally saved. And when a person, my friend, gets saved, but they don't add to their faith, in other words, they don't grow in Christ, they just go through life and maybe they just haphazardly live their life and they're not adding anything to their faith, what happens to them is the Bible said they become blind. You know, you can be legally blind and still see. Isn't that right? But you know what happens is, you can't see afar off. Amen. And the Bible said that he's blind and he cannot see afar off. And then he forgets that he was purged from his old sin. You see, you can backslide on God so much and get in so bad a shape that you don't even know if you're saved or lost anymore. That doesn't make you lost. But what that means is, you need to add to your faith. But I promise you, if faith is in your heart, you've been born again, if you'll get right with God and get back in the book, God will give you the peace. He'll give you the reassurance, because salvation is eternally secure in Christ this morning. Amen. I'm talking about the doctrine of eternal security this morning. See, why are you preaching that? Because it's so necessary. You'd be amazed the people sitting in this church this morning that's been under old-fashioned preaching all their life and still struggle with their salvation. It is not the will of God for you to live in doubt. God wants you to live in victory this morning. And the way you live in victory is, you got to quit trusting in yourself. You got to quit leaning on what you have done or what you think. You got to trust the Word of God. Amen. That's what faith comes down to. I want you to see just a few things and we'll be done. Look at verse 11, number 1. Notice the record of eternal life here. "And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You say, "Preacher, how do you know that life, how do you know that eternal security is right this morning? Well, I know it's right, number one, because there's a record of it. Amen. For the Bible says it right here. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. So I notice this life this morning is that there is the God of this life. The record reads this morning that this eternal life that we have, it is God that gave it to us. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something about God this morning. He's not an Indian giver. Amen. God don't give you something and then take it away. Amen. I'm telling you, when God gives you something, it'll be for time and it'll be for eternity. Amen. And God has given us eternal life. I believe that this morning because there's a record. Amen. John 3 and verse 16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Thank God, but is passed from death unto life this morning." Jesus said it in John chapter 15, "I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I would say this morning the record of eternal life is we see the God of this life. We see the giving of this life that God hath given unto us. Now, I'm not a Calvinist and you're not one this morning because the Bible does not teach a selected few can be saved, but the Bible teaches a whosoever will gospel. Amen. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. The Bible says, listen, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I thank God for the word whosoever, don't you? That means every creed. That means every color. Amen. That means whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter what generation. It doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter what dispensation. Thank God we can all come by way of the cross and be saved by the grace of God this morning. So there is the God of this life, the giving of this life, and then there's the getting of this life. The Bible said, "And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You say, "Preacher, if God gave us this life, then how do you get it?" You got to get it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life does not come through baptism. It doesn't come through church membership. It doesn't come through being a good person. For there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that doeth good, the Word of God says. You cannot get eternal life through, just by keeping the commandments, for you cannot keep all the commandments this morning. Eternal life, the way that we get eternal life is this life, the Bible says, is in his Son. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is more than a plan. Salvation is a person. Amen. Salvation is not wrapped up in a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. But salvation is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't accept the Son, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. Amen. You say, "Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God." Then you will not be saved until you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Because this morning, the life that God gives, the Bible says, the record says, it's in his Son. And so there's a record in heaven. There's a record right here in this Bible on earth. And thank God if you're saved, there's a record in your heart, amen, that you've been born again. The record of this life, of eternal life. And then notice in verse number 12, the reality of eternal life, amen. The Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So here is the reality of eternal life. There is the reality in this verse that you're living if you're saved, amen. The Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life," amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you get born again, they won't nobody have to convince you you got saved. Amen. I believe you can give a saved person verses of assurance that will help them to trust the Word of God. But I want to tell you this morning, there's no preacher on God's green earth that can ever give any soul assurance. Amen. Only the Holy Ghost on the inside can witness of that deepest settled assurance that you've been saved. Amen. We sing that song sometimes. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I feel the Holy Spirit deep inside. You say, "Well, preacher, you thought you said salvation wasn't a feeling," and it's not. It's based on a fact. But thank God if you ever get saved, you know what's going to happen? You're going to feel something every now and then. You say, "What do you mean?" I feel joy. I feel peace. Man, when I got saved, I didn't know John 3:16, but I had peace. I couldn't explain it to you. If you'd have walked up to me and said, what does propitiation mean? I said, I never heard. What, is that something we're going to eat for lunch? Amen. I don't know what justification meant. But I knew, thank God, I'd been born again. I'm telling you, when you get saved, God gives you peace, doesn't he? Peace on your pillow. Amen. It was C.I. Schofield that went to F.B. Meyer one day, or maybe it was F.B. Meyer went to C.I. Schofield. I can't remember now, but one of them went to the other and said, you know, said, I got a problem. Said, I know I'm saved, but I can't remember the date when I got saved. And he said, I know I'm saved. I've got peace about it, but I just can't remember the date. I think it was Schofield said it to Meyer. And he said to him, he said, well, I don't have a problem with that. He said, I knew a man one time that didn't know his birth date, but he said he knew he was alive. Amen. And can I tell you, when you get saved, that's the way it is. You may not remember the date, you may not remember the time, but I'll tell you, if somebody's living on the inside, you'll know it. Hallelujah. There'll be peace on the inside when somebody bigger than you moves on the inside. Amen. When I got saved, I remember going in my bedroom and my radio was on KZ106 and somebody moved in the house. And they started cleaning up my bedroom. Walked in there. It played night and day. I slept with it. Went to sleep with it on. Woke up with it on. It played all day long. I walked in and someone on the inside said, you know, you don't turn that off. And I turned it off. And I still watched MTV for a while. I didn't know really. I just watched it for a while. And I remember one day I was sitting there watching it come home from school. I was watching MTV and I looked out the window and here come my Sunday school teacher up the sidewalk. Man, I don't know why, but I grabbed that remote, Brother Chris, and I turned that television. And when I did, someone on the inside said, if you're ashamed for him to see you watching that, wouldn't you be ashamed for me? And I said, I never watch that no more. Went to the public pool, paid my dollar, didn't know it was wrong to strip off naked. And by the way, it's still wrong to strip off naked. But nobody told me that was wrong. Nobody said you shouldn't run around with no shirt on and run around in a pair of shorts. Nobody told me showing your flesh was wrong. And I remember I paid the dollar. Nobody told me mixed bathing with there was wrong. Amen. I remember going, I paid that dollar and I put that towel down and I jumped in that pool. And I'll tell you, as soon as my feet hit that water, someone on the inside said, just go ahead and get your towel and go home and don't ever come back here again. You know what? I remember I swam to the other side, got out, got my towel, walked home, and I remember thinking to myself, I don't really know what all that means, but I just don't feel like I fit there anymore. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there was life on the inside, and if you've been born again, there's life on the inside, and it'll come out in you. Hallelujah. See, people sometimes say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. They probably don't. You'll waste your time trying to convince me, because somebody already beat you to it that it was wrong. Boy, it's quiet in here right now, ain't it? But all that's still right preaching. Our churches today are so worldly, people get all bent out of shape when you preach that. I'll probably preach that till I die, so y'all buckle down real good. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, I'm so glad somebody, the liver is on the inside. When you don't know things, don't you thank God you got a witness on the inside? And now maybe it's not those things, but now maybe I say a little something I shouldn't have said, or maybe I think a little something I shouldn't have thought, and I'm glad the same person that was talking to me back then, he's still talking to me right now, amen? And he's going to talk to you throughout eternity because he lives on the inside. That's the reality of it. The reality is that you're living, amen. Then there's the reality that you're lost. Look what the Bible says. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know why some people may be not willing to surrender, but some people bow up on preaching because they have nothing to surrender. They're not saved. You know, preaching sometimes, it's hard to swallow. I get that. But if you're a person that can't never swallow what the preacher says, you always got that little streak of rebellion in you. You always want to go that opposite way. You may never have been saved. Because the reality is that if you don't have the Son, you're lost.
You can dress right, you can do right, you can carry a King James Bible, you can spit white, you can quit doing everything I just mentioned a while ago. But that's not going to make you saved. What that's going to do is make you miserable, amen? Because you're doing it in the flesh and you're not doing it because there's life on the inside. I walked home that day, it was joy, it was victory. I couldn't even explain it. And you know what I'm talking about. When you surrender something to God, there's victory that comes with that. And you don't feel bad, you feel good, don't you? And I tell you, I couldn't imagine trying to live a Christian life lost and not, listen, trying to give up all those things. You know, I had long hair before I got saved. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost and the preacher helped me get it cut. Amen. And I thank God for that. Amen. Aren't we having a time this morning? Amen. I'm just telling you, that's how it is. And that's how it's always going to be. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm glad that, listen, when the preacher said, get a haircut, you know what? I didn't get mad. I got a haircut. Somebody say amen right there. I got a haircut. I'm trying to think which way I'm fixing to go. Y'all pray for me. I did not get mad. You say, why didn't you get mad, preacher? Because somebody on the inside said, he's right. You know he's right. You do what that man of God says. My life, there's no telling where I'd be at today if I'd have bowed up on the preacher. If I'd have got mad. But I'll tell you something. Don't you thank God for the Holy Ghost? I tell you why some people are always kicking against the pricks. They're not saved. I'm trying to move on this morning, but I can't quite get past it. Have you been born again? Do you know that you're saved this morning? I mean, I'm probably not going to finish the sermon I've got this morning, but what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, you might even get a little sideways with something I say, but if you're saved, and I'm telling you, and now if I get out of the bounds of the Bible, that's different, but I'm telling you, if I'm preaching something to you, and 1 Corinthians 11 is still in the book, by the way, amen? Getting you a haircut ain't going to make you saved, amen? You can die, go to hell, amen? You can get a haircut like me and still go to hell this morning. I'm telling you, that's not going to get you saved. What I'm telling you is when you get saved, there's something on the inside of you that makes you want to live as close to God as you possibly can. Amen. Doesn't mean that we always do, but we want to. Eternal security, the reality, and then the recipients of eternal life. Look at verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. That's who Paul or John is talking to. I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I got a question about verse 13. Why does the Lord say that? Why does the Holy Spirit have John put that in there twice? Notice that you may, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And then he ends it, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You notice that terminology changes just a little bit. In one sense, the first time, just saw this just now preaching, but he's talking in the past sense. Isn't that right? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. They past believe, they presently believe it. But then that you may know that you have eternal life. And here it is in a future sense, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What John is saying here is to the recipients of salvation is the facts concerning it. You believe the Bible to begin with, so just keep on believing the Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, if you believe the Bible to save you, then believe the Bible to keep you saved. Amen. If you believe the Bible to save you from hell, then believe the Bible to keep you saved throughout all eternity. There is the facts concerning it. There is the faith concerning it. Two times in this verse, John uses the word believe. Amen. Because that's what salvation is. It is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not penance. We do have to repent, but we do not purchase salvation by doing anything, but we believe. That Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not just with your head, but with your heart. That's a commitment to follow Christ. Now notice the focus concerning it is that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you're saved eternally this morning? It's not the will of God for you to struggle. It's not the will of God for you to doubt. And if you've been saved, you can't get saved a second time. Can I get an amen right there? Would not do you good this morning to come down here and recap your salvation. We're not interested in another profession of faith. You say, well, Brother Gravely, how do you know? If you're lost right now, I promise you the Holy Spirit will tell you you're lost. He'll make it crystal clear to you that you don't have it. You don't have what? There's nobody. You're empty. Nobody's living on the inside. And if you're sitting there this morning, there's a bunch of, well, what if you didn't do this, and what if you didn't do that, and what if you didn't mean this, and what if you didn't do that, what if? I'm going to tell you something. God is not the author of confusion. He is not going to interrogate you in the pew. What he's going to do is tell you what you need this morning. And this morning, I see the recipients of eternal life. What about the reassurance of eternal life? Look at verse number 14. This is the confidence. There's reassurance that we have in him. The reassurance is in his person. The confidence we have is not in ourselves and not what we do, but you see it right there, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Brother Gravely, how can you be so sure that you're eternally saved? I'll tell you how. Because my salvation is not based on my words, it's based on his word. My salvation is not based on what I've done, but it's based on what he already did this morning. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe Calvary, as they sung, touched many things on that day. More things than we could ever realize. Salvation makes a difference this morning. Child of God, trust the Word of God. There is confidence in his person, in his plan. Amen? The plan is that if we ask, notice this, if we ask anything according to his will. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. Is it the will of God for you to be saved? The answer is yes, isn't it? And I'll give you a verse of scripture for that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved. And then it says this, to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, God just doesn't want you saved, but he wants you to come to the knowledge of that truth that you are saved. And I'm going to tell you something, that is a great day in your life when you don't just, well, I got saved, but no, I got saved. And I'm going to tell you something, I know I'm saved for all eternity. That you would come to the knowledge. It is the will of God. And the Bible says here that this reassurance comes in God's plan for you to be saved and to know that you're saved. And then it's in his promise. Look at this. And if we ask anything according to his will, notice his promise, he heareth us. Well, I went down to the altar and I asked Jesus to save me when I was 7 years old. Well, did you understand the gospel? Well, I believe I did. Well, did you obey the gospel? Did you do what it said? Yes, I did. I don't remember everything I said, but the best way I knew how, I asked the Lord to save me. Then trust his plan. Trust his promise. Well, I don't know if he heard me. The Bible said he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I'm going to tell you, the will of God at the top of the list for all of our life is that we be saved. It's God's will that we be saved. It's God's will that we surrender. It's God's will that we separate from this world. And it's God's will that we be spirit-filled, that we live and walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 1 said, there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen? You can have victory if you just live in it this morning. But you got to know the reassurance comes when you just take God at his word. Then I'll say in closing, the rest, look at verse 15, and eternal life is this. And if we know that he heareth us, there's the rest. We rest in the fact that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, here's what we know, that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We rest in the fact that he hears us. We rest in the fact that what we have, God said this, if you'll just do what I asked, and if you'll believe me, and if you'll trust me, God said, I'll save you. Now, we like all the dramatics, and I do too. Man, I like it when a drunk comes down the aisle. I like when somebody like old Stephen gets saved. Lived a rough life. God saved him. He got a haircut. You look pretty good this week, amen? Best I've seen you. But you know what? Old Stephen, you can look at him until he got saved. I'm not talking about his haircut this morning. But I'm telling you, you can tell he got saved. And I like it when somebody like Stephen walks down the aisle and they've lived out in sin and their life's been just, you know, a wreck and they get born again and all that, as he said, all that hate gets out and all that joy and love comes in. But I'm going to tell you what else. I like it when a Sunday school kid comes down the aisle. It's never lived the life or had the scars. And with a little tender heart, they come. And they understand that they're a sinner. And they understand that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And they understand that he wants to save them. And they want to be saved. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. And I believe God wants to save them every bit as much as he wants to save. Now, I'm careful and you're careful. I want to make sure they understand. And sometimes they want to be saved. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But they don't fully comprehend it. And ain't nothing wrong with waiting on that. But I'll tell you, if you're here this morning and you understand the gospel and you know that you're lost, you understand I'm lost and I'm not saved and I need to be saved and I want to be saved, then friend, you can be saved. All you got to do is step out of your seat and take God at his word. You don't have to have had a big, terrible testimony, and that's what that is. I'm telling you, the greatest testimony you ever have is that you came to Jesus and accepted him in your younger years. And I wonder this morning, I tell you, it would be my desire that no member of this church stands at the great white throne judgment that set under, not because of me, but I don't want anybody to sit under my preaching and be lost. And you might be a teenager and you need to be saved. You might be a young adult and you need to be saved. And I think about that often. I don't want anybody here to go to hell. I don't want a visitor to go to hell. And I don't want a member to go to hell. And I beg you this morning, there's some of you that have sat here, and I know you're not saved. You ain't fooling nobody. And I don't know what it's going to take to get you to the altar. I really don't. And there's nothing I can do to get you down here. I've done everything I know to do. But I'd beg you this morning, if you're not saved, I beg you to come this morning. Jesus is coming. And this whole world's coming to a close, friend. And I just wonder in my mind, Brother Danny, if the rapture took place this morning, I wonder how many people that's a member of this church would not go. I wouldn't want there to be one person left in this building if the rapture took place right now. And if you're a visitor, the worst thing you can do is get up and get out of this invitation. Because you're not walking away from me. You're going to walk away from God if you get out of your seat right now while I'm preaching. Now you can do it and I won't be mad at you, but I'm telling you, before you even start, you got a need in your life. That's why you want to get out of this service. And you need to come this morning as we stand.